neglecting myself, living for y'all. Greetings out there to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I'm greeting you again from the wonderful sunny island of Sri Lanka. Yes, I am back on the island soil as such. I got back in, it's probably about a day and a half ago now. And wow, what a trip. For those of you that kind of have been keeping up with here and there, you know that I've been on the road for probably the last 7 weeks. And just traveling, you know, kind of wherever it was that God was sending me to go. It seemed like it was a pretty interesting trip, actually. Spent some time catching up with some really, really good friends. And in a few instances, meeting brothers and sisters in Christ that I had yet to really meet in this life, but people that we've known throughout all eternity and that we will be spending eternity with. And it's a blessing, you know, when we get out and when you just kind of follow where God's leading you and taking you. So, super, super time. Amazing break. Thank you so much to the friends that I did get a chance to see, people that were gracious hosts as well, that took me in with open arms. And just Patrick, my brother up in Canada, hey, love you, man, always. You are solid, and I just thank God for you, man. I pray that God just continue to keep you and bless you, and Barbara and everybody over at Cornerstone. Super, super people. Just wonderful, wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Zeph and Trish, I wish we could have met up this time, but just soon enough we will all catch up. And for those that have been corresponding with on the road, and just people that have had the chance to see, love you all. You know, something that I kind of noticed, you know, while I was kind of traveling even, is, well, one thing is that God has all of us put in different places on specific assignments, and so often the feeling is that we're just alone and that we're isolated, and that really, what in the world are we doing? Is what we're doing making any kind of a difference? And you know, the truth is that's partly His method and His way, is to have us is separate, really, you know, and put in a place, sometimes as even a safeguard for that place, because He's maybe not done with an area and is not ready to see. If we're not in those spots that He puts us, there's no reason for them to continue to even exist, and they get wiped out or destroyed, or one of a billion things could happen to them. But when there's light and God's kids that are in the way, standing in the gap for for those that are in harm's way because they're not connected to the Spirit of life and truth, when God has us there, He has us there for the sake of those that would still come to Him, but that maybe are on the wrong side and maybe haven't woken up yet. And see, when we come to Christ, when we are brought into the light, into the truth because of Him, your life is no longer your own anymore. You belong to Him. You were bought with a price. And as someone that's bought with a price that belongs to Him, now your life, your existence, everything that you are is basically whatever He dictates that it will be. So we give up our right to ourselves in that case. When you walk with Him, now you're a slave unto righteousness. The catch is that what He gives you as a result of stepping into that is an abundant life, is a fulfilled life, is a life that surpasses anything that you could ever do, think, or construct of yourself apart from Him. It's pretty amazing, actually. The fact that what you get and gain by losing it all to follow Him is something that exceeds what you could ever anticipate doing by yourself apart from Him. So when the world says, okay, let me do this for the sake of becoming what they think in their own mind, what they've been programmed in their own mind to do that would give them some fulfillment, some satisfaction, some prominence, or whatever it is that they hope for in the world. In the end, they go to this finish line where there's nothing there. If they get what it is that they thought, they find out how empty that is. That's why so many of them are depressed, blow their brains out, medicating themselves, substance abusing themselves in one illicit relationship after another, just to deaden the horrific fact that their lives are a joke, that their existence is worthless and meaningless, and that everything that they've put their life into doesn't amount to anything. Whereas for those that are walking with Christ, what you do and what we do, it makes an eternal impact. It has eternal significance. It has reason for being. It is what we were intended to be in the first place. So we live the maximum life when we walk with Him. We live the abundant life when we are on track with Him. Now, that doesn't negate the fact that you will have, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, because He has overcome the world. So, just because we're walking in the abundant life, it does not mean that you will not have trouble. In fact, it guarantees that you will have trouble. Because, you know, one thing about the difficulties that we face is that they stretch us, they prepare us, they make us better than we would be if we didn't have them. See, adversity reveals character. Adversity, it chips away at who we are apart from Him. If you're continuing to walk with Him, it gets rid of all the dross and those kind of things through the things that we suffer and that we go through. So to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings is part of the path that we get when we follow Him. And, you know, I know it's unpopular in the conventional 501c3 satanic church system to talk about suffering. But it's a beautiful thing when you see what it is that God intends in what we go through. You know, I would equate maybe conventional Christianity with an infomercial for like an abdominizer or some piece of gimmick exercise equipment. You know, in the end, what people end up wanting is some plastic thing that they can buy for $30 that should give them rock hard abs. When in the end, it's just they're falling for the same old marketing gimmick of 5 minutes a day will do this for you. It won't. It never does. The only way that you'll ever get in shape is by doing the things that would actually get you in shape, which is pushing your body past its comfortable limits. And while you're pushing your body past its comfortable limits, it gets rid of excess waste, toxins, and fat that you might be carrying, because it accesses that as energy stores to do the work that you need to do. And then it rebuilds stronger, harder, more defined, whatever, for the next round when you'll have to do that same kind of activity again. So, you know, you're not going to trick it into that. And even if the people that do all their plastic surgery and, you know, all their cosmetic adjustments to look a certain way, that's just like putting a nice coat of paint over a rusted car. You know, it might look a certain way, but it's still underneath. Inside, it's junked out. So, likewise, when God puts us through the ringer spiritually as such, when you're following Him and you go through difficulties, difficult trials, circumstances, and situations, the byproduct of the difficulties that you face is that you get stronger when you go through them with Him. So when you go through them with Him, when you hold on to Him, when you bow your knee before Him, when you allow Him to strengthen you through it, when you come to the other side of it, you are now stronger, more capable, more able. You've learned to trust Him. You've learned to obey Him in the middle of that situation. And you're on the right track. So it's not as much the place that we would go. Because that's interchangeable. It's not as much even the company that we would keep, because God has His people all over the world. The wheat and the tares grow together all over the world. So you will have people that you work with today that you may not work with tomorrow. He'll send you out. He'll have you two by two, groups, threes, fives, tens, twenties, and then you'll be back by yourself somewhere else. Doesn't matter. The key is to walk in connection with the Spirit of God. So that is what He's bringing you to, a place of utter and complete and total dependence on Him. Because when you walk with Him in complete dependence and complete understanding that it's Him doing the work, you now are in a spot where His will, His plan, His purpose can be done. I got to stop here for a second because somebody's at the door. Be right back. So God is bringing us to a place of dependence. He's bringing us to a place of complete and total trust in Him. He's bringing us to a place where we come to the end of ourselves, which is absolutely necessary. Because as long as we've got our own agenda, we've got our own plan, we've got our own thing that we're trying to work out and make happen that we formulated apart from His Spirit, we're getting in the way. So we're getting in the way of what it is that God wants to do through us. And when God is working, He's working in spite of us and not in conjunction with us. So the things that He's doing, He's doing in spite of the fact that we... we're getting in the way of what it is that He would do with us and through us. So the best situation is to allow Him just to take you through the process, to train you the way that He would train all of His disciples, all of His servants, to submit to that. And then once you've come to the conclusion of that, He sends you out. He puts you in the work. And as He puts you in the work, that which you do is, the results are eternal, and the results are what it is that He wants them to be. Your success is in the obedience. So, yes. So, coming back to Sri Lanka. You know, it's interesting coming back here this time, because I think for myself, flying in, this is one of the first times that I really didn't necessarily want to come back this time. You know, usually when I've come back to here, there's been anticipation to be here. And I can't necessarily say that's been the case this time. You know, because I think, I look at the context and I look at this place, and as much as we have sown into here and sown good seed and spiritually been in line and in step with what God's doing, when people don't have a heart for truth and they've chosen darkness over light, there's only so long that God continues to reach out to them. You know, all day long He reaches out His hand to a disobedient and obstinate people. But there comes a point where He will just say, okay, you know, that's what you want. Go ahead. I'll give you the desire of your heart. You can have the full measure of that. And, you know, I think, you know, the frustration that we have is we realize that there is something better. We know that there's something more for those that would trust Him. But when we see people refusing that, it is tough, because we know that they're choosing ultimately their own destruction. But that is not our place. We're not the Savior as such. We walk in conjunction with the Savior. We do His will. But He's the one that draws. He's the one that leads. And He uses you as a witness. But the results are really up to Him. So we don't witness apart from His Spirit, but we do what it is that He says, and then we continue to move on. And I think for myself, you know, one thing that I kind of look for, personally, as I look for where is it that the Spirit of God is working, and where is it that he, who is it that he's drawing? You know, I look for the person that is the one that has a heart for truth, is looking for that, because that's where that's a worthwhile investment of your time and your energy and your resource. I'm just, you know, on a realistic level, because, you know, to throw that out there over and over again to people that don't have a heart for it is to throw your pearls before swine, is to give that which is of value to something that has no understanding, no appreciation for it, and will turn and bite you after trampling it under feet. I mean, there is so we don't just throw it out there like that. What we do is in connection with the Spirit of God. So, you know, even with this podcast, even with what we put up here, you know, we don't up until now, you know, we really haven't advertised. Excuse me, we haven't advertised this site. We haven't taken any banners or done anything like that. The only way that people even know about this site at all is word of mouth. Is people like you telling somebody else, "Hey, you got to check out this message, or you got to hear this." That's it. Because, you know, this is for us, our role in obedience has been up until now to just whatever God gives us to say, we say it, and then we put it up, and it goes out to whoever it's supposed to go out to, and people will access it whenever they need to access it. Sometimes people listen in to messages 3, 4, 5, 6 months after the fact. A lot of people go into the archives. You know, if you haven't tried the archives yet, just check the button over on the left. Click on that. There's series archives in there. There are the general archives, which is a bunch of single audios. There's the talks like this that are there. All kinds of things that are in there. You know, and it's there. You know, we've been blessed for a season to be able to have that there for you as a resource to use for this time. I don't know how long these things will be up there. I don't know how long we will be able to continue to do what we do. But while we do, we seek to just do our side of it, which is what God puts on our heart to do at this time. But, you know, when it's gone, it's gone. You know, when this is done, it's finished. And we just continue to move on. So, you know, we have no vested interest in building any kind of empire here in this world, any kind of anything here. Our goal is always just to freely we've received, freely we give. And we desire as much as we can to be part of what it is that God is doing, to be a blessing unto the saints, and just to be what it is that God would have us to be as part of his work right now. But that's it. You know, there is no reason to take a huge interest or to take it really personal about building a sandcastle on the seashore. It is, the tide does come in, and when it comes in, doesn't matter how elaborate everything is that you built, it's gone. So, you know, it's gone in so many different ways, whether it be the day that you die, be it of a natural cause that you see coming a mile away, or something sudden. You know, we check out, and everything that we've done in this life, we check out from that as well, and we go on into an eternity. So, you know, at that time, you need to be in connection with the Father. You need to be in ultimately in possession of your soul and in connection with Him. Because if you have bowed your knee before this world and the world system in exchange for provision and protection to that, then that's what you receive, which is that limited offer and eternal loss. So, you know, right now, you know, it's an interesting time too for the saints, because now is a time where, you know, a lot is happening. Gosh, a lot is happening everywhere. And I, you know, there is a reason why those that have followed Him, that have taken up the call to just to prepare themselves, you will be ready for what is to come. You know, your reading, your prayer, your life experiences, it's all of it is worthwhile. All of it has purpose. If, to fail to do those things, to fail to prepare yourself, is to go into the battle in less of a state than you need to be for what it is that you'll be called to do. And, you know, but God is gracious, you know, He is merciful as well. And, you know, what He does, you know, He'll work with you. So I really don't know, you know, how much time you got, but today is the day of salvation. Be quick about it. And wherever you're at this day, just make sure that 100% you're on God's page, because He's doing something with those that would walk with Him. Yeah, you know, I think on a natural level, I do get frustrated with what I see going on in the world around me. You know, I get frustrated with the corruption that I see. I get annoyed and aggravated with the deceptions that are just so blatant, so right there in your face, obviously coming from liars and children of the devil. It's that stuff ticks me off. But, you know, in the process of also that too, you know, I realize that those guys, they've got their role as well in this world and the world system and in the clash that we're in, which is to do their side, which is to be the children of the devil that they were meant and destined to be. You know, that is your adversity. That is, they're there to serve a certain purpose. Much like a training dummy would be in a football practice, or, you know, if you're gonna, all right, let's go back to even sports analogies. If you're going to wrestle, you will never become as good a wrestler as you can be without wrestling against an actual opponent. And the better the opponent is that you wrestle against, the better you become. You know, I say this from my own experience, because I used to wrestle back. This is some time back, and I actually got to be pretty darn good. And I remember something, you know, the guy that was my coach was sixth place in the Olympics. And he was, when I was wrestling, he was about my size, maybe 20 pounds heavier. So I oftentimes in practice would end up wrestling with him. And either myself or my regular training partner, who was one weight class up from me, and incidentally, both of us ended up becoming city champions, just because, you know, we got very, very good wrestling somebody that was far better than us. And then when we actually were in wrestling just guys that were normal, we were a whole lot better equipped for that, because we had trained with somebody that was phenomenal. So, you know, when you wrestle, when you compete, you get better based on the competition that you're competing against. And it's much better to train and to fight and to war against those that are far superior, because when you do, when you wrestle against and compete against them like that, you become much stronger depending on the competition that you're up against, the people that you you struggle and strive against. So, you know, it's part of God's design. So back to now this whole thing of what we're being bombarded by around us. You know, you are called to battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. You're called to wrestle that. You are called to go up against that. God has called you into this war, this spiritual war, this spiritual warfare, deliverance warfare. You are called as a child of light to come into the light, to be set apart unto Him, and then as you are set apart unto Him, now to war against that which is the dark, that which is of this world. So we take up our place in this line. We take up our place on the battle line, and we do that which God has for us to do. Now, you know, one thing also is that you can't own any of it. I kind of need to say this because it's important. You can't own that which you do, because if you do it in connection with the Spirit of God, then it's Him doing it, not you. And if you can come to that realization, you take your self out of the equation, you take your ego out of the equation. See, then, if it's not you, you can literally change and change direction really fast, because you're not tied up in it. It's not your ministry as such. It's His ministry that He's doing through you. And when it is that He says, okay, time for you to go left, time for you to leave this country, time for you to go to another place, time for you to change completely what you're doing, time for you to take up music, time for you to drop that career, time for you to try something new. You can, because you weren't what you did. Who you are is a child of God. What you do is just an extension of who you are. And that extension of who you are can change, as the Spirit of God has that to change. So basically, don't allow your identity to be wrapped up in what you do. That's the way the world works. See, the way the world works is their identities are wrapped up in what they do, because that's also a way for them to figure out where they fit and where others fit in the satanic hierarchy. So likewise, when the world talks to you and they say, okay, first question, what's your name? And then second question, well, what do you do? And people say, well, I'm the, you know, production manager of such and such company. I am the CEO of this and this thing. I am the country director of whatever. Who cares? But that's what they do. They do that because that is then how they gauge where the other person fits in the natural hierarchy, which is different than the spiritual one, but in the natural hierarchy of the world system. The spiritual hierarchy of the world system functions differently, and we'll talk about that another time, I'm sure, as God opens that up a little bit more for us to talk about it. But the natural hierarchy of the world system is something that, you know, they want to gauge where they fit. So then quickly in a room, in a conversation, in whatever, then they know now, okay, here's somebody that they have to kiss up to because they're higher than them in that structure, or here's somebody that they can step on and squash and brush to the side because they're lower than them in that system. Now for us, as kingdom people, where you fit as far as anything that you might do in the world has absolutely nothing to do with who you are. So for us, when we do something, that's not our identity. So you can be the country director of something, you can be the CEO, you can be the janitor of, and that doesn't matter. Because tomorrow you can switch. You can be the janitor today, and you can be the CEO tomorrow, and still who you are in Christ is who you are in Christ. You are important because He's put importance on your life. you are his most treasured possession because he paid the highest price in the entire universe for you. It was the blood of the Son of God that was used to pay for you. I mean, you can't get higher than that. So your value is immeasurable. And yet your free will is engaged because he wants you to actualize that by stopping where you're at and accepting the gift that comes from him, which he extends to you, which is the full propitiation of your sins and redemption that comes from him. So for us, when the world asks you, what's your name? And then when they ask you, well, what do you do? We do whatever it is that the Spirit of God has us to do. So, you know, our thing is, if somebody asks you, what do you do? Well, I obey God. I just do whatever it is he tells me to do. Is there any other way? Is there any other way to walk through this life? So, hi, what's your name? Oh, nice to meet you. What do you do? Well, I do whatever God tells me to do. Oh, so, having a just recorder, batteries, realized I needed to charge them. I thought I could get this whole talk in on one, but alas, not enough juice to finish off the recording. So anyways, so ultimately who we are is who we are in Christ Jesus. We're never defined by what we do as such. So just want to let you guys know that also with the site, we'll be making some changes to a couple things, hopefully be able to make it run a little bit smoother and a little bit more functional in the days to come. Daniel is working on a couple of new things for kind of the backbone of what the site is. I really like the fact that the FaithMix site is a standalone. It's not linked into anything else, so we pretty much have structural, control over how things work with it. So the other problem, though, is that it does take time to put things together, and there's not a lot of hands on this ship. So, we work with what we can. Hey, for those of you that chip in to help keep this thing going, God bless you. We don't do anything under compulsion with anybody, because really, in the end, we would much rather stuff come from clean hearts and just out of connection with God and obedience to him than anybody doing anything because, we don't want any twisted motives or to manipulate or to trick or whatever, because that's the way the world does it, and we're not down like that. So, you won't get we won't be selling you any magic sand from some Euphrates River that'll heal your whatever thing going on with you. That's not, no, we don't do that. We just put out whatever God gives us, and we go like that. So, hey, so for those of you that are chipping in, just God bless you. I want to just say thank you, and thank you. Because, that's cool. And, so keep in touch with us too. If you want to drop us an email, you can reach us at faithmix@gmail.com. And we do read everything that comes through there. Sometimes it takes us a little while to get back to people. But we do read the stuff that comes in and the emails we get. And so drop us an email. And so let you know too that we will be, Lord willing, publishing more as the days come forward. So we'll keep you posted. God bless you. Love you very, very, very much. And and praying too that just God keeps you strong. And just trust him. Don't worry about anything. because he's got all things under control, and in good time, in good season, he will direct each and everything that needs to be. So don't borrow trouble from tomorrow that you don't have to deal with today, because the interest that you'll end up paying on that will not be worth the time and the effort and the energy and the headache and the toll on your health. And a lot of these things, you couldn't do anything about them anyways, even if you knew they were coming. So don't worry too much. Just sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Trust the Lord, look to Him, and if He's got something for you to do about what you see right in front of you, sure, go for it. Do that, and then just enjoy your life with Him, because He came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. So receive the abundant life that He has for you, and God bless you, love you, and we'll be talking to you really soon. All right.